Told you I had a nice imaginative start lined up for today. Hey!
Very original.
Yes. No, we need a new theme tune, though, don't we? We've been talking about it. It's been around for a while. And we're at number episode 143, which I guess means 150.
Oh, okay.
Again.
Okay.
You don't want a new theme. You like this one.
No. What is this? The third that we have?
Yeah, something like that. I like doing them.
No, that's fine. Okay. Okay.
We've also got the one we used for ESPC, which is already more or less started. We just need to change some of the overtext.
That's true.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Okay.
If we changed it, what would you go with? Now, that doesn't sound very good. I'm sure you can do better.
Mariachi.
What?
Mariachi.
Sing me some mariachi.
So three Mexican guys playing on a guitar.
Oh, right.
Wearing big sombreros.
Who was Steve Martin?
Were they?
The three amigos. Yes. Steve Martin. Oh, I can see the little guy.
Who's that? Not short. Martin Short?
Martin Short. And
Sarah, the other guy. Yes.
And Sarah's not around. Was it Chevy Chase or something?
Could well be.
You know, I'm sorry, but it was good. I just happened to have the internet here. Three amigos.
Hey, co-pilot.
And they.
Good thing you don't ask.
Oh, Chevy Chase, yes. Oh, got that one right. And Martin Short. Yeah. We got them all. Oh, wow.
Nice.
Three amigos. Ha! So, how does mariachi music go?
I can't do that, but it is just very fun and jolly and.
That's true. So it sets everybody up for our podcast, which are very fun and jolly.
Yes.
You don't mind if I veto this idea, do you?
Or what else? What else? Let's not turn this podcast into one big farce. No, brainstorm about music.
Okay. I mean, I'm just going to be very chilled out and relaxed today. I'm not going to say anything that is too controversial. I'm not going to get accused of being pushy and that Englishman needs to shut the fuck up.
Okay. You're talking about the comment that we got.
We did, yes.
Oh, that was a feisty comment, but maybe...
A hint of truth?
Maybe a hint of truth in it, yes. Somebody said on the comments that the English guy needs to pipe down a little bit.
Yeah, he was probably right. But it was a good podcast.
It was a really good podcast and I enjoyed it and we... Because I really listened to it, and I don't often do that. And I do think it came across that we both had ideas and that we stand by it.
Yes.
And that you were wrong, obviously.
Obviously. And bullshit.
I think that was one of the best podcasts we did in years. And I also saw comments all over the place for... Someone saying that my approach was the right approach. Other people were saying that you were right.
Thanks, Francis. I appreciate it. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a divisive matter.
If only we could find subjects that close all the time. It's like the Top Gun Challengers. They think really hard about the Top Gun Challengers. You know, somebody's going to travel across London on a bike. Somebody's going to take the train and public transport. Somebody's going to drive across on a Range Rover. But they
Top Gear.
Top Gun. Top Gear. I apologize.
Not Top Gun. Yes. Yeah. I thought the guy driving on a bicycle through London. How is an F-14 going to follow that up? I mean,
have you not seen Top Gear 3? No. Okay.
No.
Top Gun 3. Yeah, but effectively they work it out so that you will effectively land at the same time,
yeah.
And then they do the challenges. Mm-hmm. So they on the same basis, it would be good to have conversations, you know, take a stance that are actually both right,
yeah.
And you just need to choose. I tell you what, good television program on YouTube about that called It Depends.
Yes, three people that are all right, but just slightly in a different way.
Yes, of course, it's the compare that's right all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would be me. He's right. This guy's right. Yeah, that cocky English guy. Bless you, my friend. Bless you. All right. So, yes, that was... I'm just checking that we are recording. We're good. Yeah, we're good. Good, good,
nice.
Good.
Nice. Okay. Good.
So, today is Polish Day.
It's actually, last week was our trip to Warsaw.
Yes, it was.
Where we went to Collab Days Poland.
To Warsaw.
For me, was, I think, the fifth time I was there.
Yeah, they're not fed up with you, and you didn't get arrested this time, so that was good.
No, it's improving. It's improving. Yeah. No, I definitely did not get arsehole drunk this time, so that was definitely an improvement.
Did you miss it?
No, was fine. It was fine.
No, it was great. I mean, we should shout some thank you names out because you guys really did an absolutely superb Collab Days.
Yes, absolutely. Edita, Marcin, Mike, Tomasz, David.
Yeah, that's it.
I think
it's good. And Thomas, you really do need to learn your lines. That was so funny.
Oh, and the keynote.
Yeah. Are you with me today?
Yes. No,
you
sure? I am.
Yeah, on the opening keynote, he's got everything wrong.
It's been days and days and days.
Since I saw a human being.
That always brings me back to that little clip from Titanic where the lady goes, it's been 89 years.
Oh, yes.
So whenever someone says it's been so long. Anyway.
So we bought some knowledge back from Poland. We'll cover that a little bit. We also bought some whiskey back.
Yes. We actually each brought a bottle back.
We did.
And we will duke it out to see who brought the best bottle back.
I think that's a good idea because you've tasted yours. I haven't tasted yours. I just had a sniff of mine. So, yes, so we've got two genuine Polish whiskies. It does appear just like the UK and France and even Belgium, they're all doing whiskey at various locations and all have their own stance. My guess is there's a bloody lot of whiskey being produced in the world one way or the other nowadays.
I guess that there's a lot of whiskey being bought. Maybe not drank, but at least bought.
Yeah. Some people do buy it and then they don't drink it.
It's weird.
Weird.
It's weird people.
How many bottles do you have that you won't drink?
Maybe 20.
Don't ever invite me to your place to stay for the weekend and look after the dog or the cat.
Yeah.
Because I will go finding them.
I know.
I'll paste a little...
I'm not hiding them very good either, so... Yeah.
I'll post a little 50-euro note to anyone that I open. But that's good. So the idea of today is to... We'll do a little bit of a review. It was a really, really good event. It was over 2 days, workshops on one day. And they were smart people because they had a limited number of workshops with a high number of people attending because they sold out of all their tickets and they had two or three walk-ins that were just, I want to go. And that worked out really, really well. So the second day was all the kind of traditional day. And again, it's moved away from the weekend and everybody seems to now be doing midweek stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm very happy about that.
No,
because
I'm not sure either.
I used to love the SharePoint Saturday idea because then I could fly on Friday evening or fly on Friday afternoon. So I would only miss half a day of work and then do an event, spend some time in that city and fly back and be ready for Monday.
Yeah, it's interesting to see what the statistics will say. Whether I was yawning at the same time as I started to talk. I do apologize. It also was a very tiring weekend, of course. Mm-hmm. That's completely did my head in. Right, what I was going to say.
So there were a lot of people. I think the most attendees they ever had.
Yes, but I was thinking that generally, I wonder whether now people are doing it the week, the numbers are actually increasing. So people feel it's work, not a volunteer type of thing.
Yeah, it might be, but that also means that if you're an employee, you need to ask your boss if it's okay to spend a day there.
Yeah, but a lot of people in our workshop, because we did a workshop on the Thursday,
most
of them had come from work.
Yes, I didn't think about that. Yeah. Exactly, yes.
So it was about getting the value from it. So maybe it's a more perceived value. It's a bit like charging somebody €50 to go into a conference, even though you don't really need to. You can get it sponsored, but it just adds more value. Mm-hmm. They're more likely to turn up.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of them talking to each other about how it works. I think I might just drop a few people an interesting line because I'm interested in the results. So it's going to be, as I said, about Colab Days. We've got a couple of sessions that we want to talk about. We're going to review some of the things that we saw. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to drink both of the Polish whiskies.
Yes.
Are we going to drink them separately? So one halfway through the other? So we'll talk about one of the sessions, and then we'll maybe take one of the whiskeys, and then we'll...
Yeah, it's good. Yes, session. Let's mix it up. Yes.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. Good call. Yeah. All right.
All right. So let's talk about the first thing we did, which is what we're titling Jenga Governance.
Yes.
Jenga Governance.
It's about juggling your bricks. Yes.
That didn't sound as funny as it did in your head came out, did it?
No,
you
know? Exactly. No, it's all about risk management, and I believe you came up with this idea a few days before we left. So you were, I'm going to order a Jenga. Okay, cool. So you did, and you brought it with you, so massive kudos for that. What was the idea?
Didn't use it enough, yeah. So the idea really was that as we go through our governance course, first of all, we should say that we always like to do something different in these things.
Yes. You know,
very practical, very baseline, very open and questioning around, you know, what people do and what they don't do. Take away lots of ideas that you can start working with on Monday. And a number of people did that. And we got perfect scores. I should mention we got perfect scores. Did I say we got perfect scores? We got five, man. Five for the workshop.
And not just one or two, but like
five across the board. Yeah, it's quite good. So the idea really was on our adoption course, we use Lego, which is great fun. You know, you build people that you're dealing with.
Build your audience. Personas.
On our governance course, it's really about managing that risk. And I wanted to try and give people a feeling of what that risk actually felt like.
Yes.
So every decision you take is a balance, all right? It's a term you used a lot in there. It's a term I used a lot in there. And risk is about balance. First of all, we show people that, you know, if you want to take a risk, then you basically decide how risky it is going to be.
Yes.
So can you remember the two things that we show them or teach them about defining risk? There was a little table and a map.
It's about value and the probability of happening.
Yeah.
The
likelihood and the effect.
Yes, exactly. How bad it would be.
Yeah, how bad it's going to be. So,
For example, if you're on an airplane and it crashes down, the likelihood will be not that high, but the effect will be pretty dramatic.
Useful piece of information for you, okay? How many millions of kilometers do you have to fly before you have an accident?
11.
992 million kilometers of flight.
Okay.
Before there's a death.
Okay.
All right. How many millions of kilometers, this is worldwide, does a motorbike?
22.
It's still a small number. Yeah. Useless piece of information that I found out at the weekend at the Museum of Technology in Warsaw.
Oh, nice. That's cool. Yeah.
It was a pretty cool museum. But anyway, but again, so balancing risk. So we show people in there that a lot of things are about risk, like how you do your user in and how you cancel them out and how you stop the licenses and your sharing and all that. And maybe we'll look at a few of those in a little while. But we wanted to do Jenga, or I said Jenga's about risk. Mm-hmm. Ah, guys, do you know what Jenga is?
This is a good call because we can't show them.
No, we can't.
We're a podcast.
Well, we can show them, but it would sound something like, and then you pull out this block. Did you hear that? The only time they'd be at here is when it all falls down and falls over.
Yeah.
All right. So Jenga is spelled J-E-N-G-A. You may well have played it in pubs. I've seen it 2 meters high in a pub where you whatever, and basically you have three bricks, and then you have three more bricks stacked on top of it at 90 degrees, and then three more bricks, same as the even row, and you stack them up. And the idea is that you remove a brick and you put it on the top of the pile.
Yes.
And then, of course, you can end up having it balanced on one brick in the middle, or you can have it balanced on the side, depending on how you do it. And the idea is, of course, the loser is the one that tries to remove a brick and it falls down. Except that because I'm a bastard, I got a Jenga kit that you had to carry from one table to the next.
Yes, with handles.
With handles. So the idea is that you took out your brick and then you had to carry it to the next team on the table and put it down. And once you've walked away, they then had to move a brick and a move you go. So basically, we had two exercises with Jenga, and it's about managing the risk.
Yes.
The first one was about taking the least risk move possible. Right?
Yes.
So their instructions were take three bricks from anywhere in the list, in the pile, and then move the Jenga kit to the next team. And as long as it's still standing when you let go, that's your get. That's your team completed, and you get three bricks.
Yeah.
Okay. So they were told to take the least risk. They could take anything they wanted, but the least risk.
Yeah, because normally you can't perform. You can't move any of the top blocks.
Correct. So we left it
any
open
moves
to them.
Possible.
Yeah, any like. So they eventually worked it out, and it was quite funny watching a group of adults around a table having a long-term brainstorm about which three bricks to move from the Jenga. Until eventually I said, think about it. And so they took the top three bricks off the pile, of course, which leads a nice steady Jenga's pile, and then move it to the next table.
It's even more steady because it's got less bricks on it.
Correct. And so that's a good point, actually. one we must remember to bring up next time. Yeah. So then the table, second table, that's the same card, take the less risk. Yep. And you put it down. And the next one did the same. So we've got nine bricks off it. Then it gets to table number four. And table number four was our bad boys table.
Yeah, that was the big D energy table.
Yeah,
yes.
They could not just sit there and only do the least risk.
No.
But the question to everybody was, okay, so you create a decision that had no risk associated with it. So the effect was basically, the likelihood of it happening was zero.
Yeah.
And the effect, if it did happen, was I would have lost. But I asked them what value they get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what value as a game did you get out of it? And the answer, of course, was
none.
Yeah. There's nothing that is going to go wrong. All I'm doing is collecting bricks off the top of the pile. I guess I might trip up between one table and the next. But so it was no fun. Which basically means that if you want fun in life, you have to take some risks.
Yes.
That was the learning experience.
No, absolutely. That's true. Yes. Driving a motorcycle for 22 million kilometers.
Correct, because then you will have an accident.
Yes.
No, I do understand that.
Yeah.
Now, anyway, I understand it now. So that was our first exercise, was basically looking at that. And then we did an exercise where we looked around at the different risks you could have. And we're not going to go into them too much because I'm sure you all know the risks. And we'll cover this at some point in the future. But things like not, you know, using the default security that everybody knows, including all the hackers and the bad guys, you know, don't put MFA on your admin accounts.
Oversharing, all these typical things.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we talked about that. We also talked about having open sites potentially and how to, keeping your power platform with the default environment that everybody can read and write and get access to all the data. So the, you know, there's a lot of things that you need to think about in the risk side of stuff. So then we said, okay, so now take your Jenga kit and have a different rule this time. So this time you need to take two blocks out of the pile and put them on top. So you could not take two from the top and put them back in the same place. That was not allowed. So the idea now, of course, is that you're basically going to try and take two blocks out from the side and this table, and then you have to move it to the table. And then they started to have fun.
Yes.
And then they started to judge what they should do and how much of a risk they should take, because if it was too wobbly, there was no way they're going to move it from one place to another. And so they got a real feel for how would they manage risk.
Yeah.
So that was risk management around governance. And not only did we talk about risk, we talk about the service levels, the end user experience around governance.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about DRAARP.
DRAARP, our famous model.
Our model called DRAARP.
Yes.
And you know I'm going to ask you what it stands for because I can never remember. Fine.
It is about defining your governance, reviewing it, getting it changed again. So it is the A stands for...
it's that A again.
Changing. Well, and then afterwards you approve. That's the second A. And then you publish it.
Yeah, it could well be correct. It is because I've looked it up because I have no memory.
Not amend.
Adapt. So you define it. So define what your governance is. That is also really important. Yeah, because you can actually say, I'm just going to keep it out of the box. That's my definition of governance.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll just do exception management if need be. You review it, of course, go to the business, discuss it with any governance board, make sure the leadership understand what you're doing in terms of managing,
mm-hmm.
adapt it accordingly. So once you've asked lots of people, they may make some suggestions so you can change it, get it approved, and then publish the governance document, mainly before you start making any changes. So you've got your document done to start off with.
Yeah.
So yes, we did DRAARP, which was a lot of fun. And we did baseline governance. We covered what that was. We talked about different roles. Yep. All the different roles you have.
Our Ruskie model.
Yeah. So that's good. It's a good day. Everybody enjoyed it.
Yes.
We had lots of fives in the air and fours in the air. Plus
we had a
proper
full
formats.
Room. 20 yep. people. Yeah.
20 people. Yep. Yeah, we nearly had 20 people, but yeah. Some bastards didn't turn up.
Yeah, that's fine.
So that was it. So Jenga governance from the office, which is five boys. We had fun doing that. And if we get any more and you want to come and join us, then we'll make sure that you become aware of what it is. But that was good. That was Poland days. Are we going to drink a whiskey?
Yes. It sounds like you need one.
We're going to do yours or we're going to do mine?
Let's do mine.
Alrighty, so I will talk about it. Why are you doing it? So this is one that Moraine found. It was a very exclusive find at the duty-free shop at the airport. And it is called the Wild Fields Sherry Cask Single Malt Polished Whiskey. Oh, Polish Whiskey. Made exclusively from Polish malted barley.
Yes.
All right. It's a small batch, single distillery.
Yep. Non-chill filtered.
Yep. And
first fill ex sherry American oak. It says.
It's very sherry.
Yes. But it's not too bad actually.
It's a nice color. It's got a lot of body in that color.
Mm-hmm.
It's no age. It's got no age statement as such.
It actually does have an age statement because it was distilled and filled in July 2019 and bottled in March 2023.
So it is
three and a half years old. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So
beautiful.
So John
golden
McDougall
color.
Is the master blender. So it was he had some Scottish consultancy in there. So it's just very nice. The color is light gold aroma, whatever that means.
Okay.
Light gold?
Yes.
I can live with that. It looks reasonably good. And you're going to pull the tasting notes from the box. But I think
so it came in a nice dark box. So indeed, color light gold. Nose? Cherry.
Cherry? Sherry.
Sherry.
I thought you meant cherry as in...
No.
Little red
but
balls.
It does have that nose that I typically don't like that much.
Well, that so-called thing we used to call medical.
No. To me, it smells a little like rye, but it's not rye.
Yeah, it doesn't there have that this deep maltedness.
No, and I got this from a number of bottles already, including the one from Austria, and what was the other one we tasted recently? Can't remember anymore. But some of these bottles have that, and oh, the one from Finland.
Okay, yeah.
That I bought the big bottle for, and it just not what I like. For some
I don't
reason.
Mind this actually.
Yeah. And it seems I don't have this with any Irish or Japanese or Scottish whiskies. I only get this with whiskies that are coming from other countries.
That's not really true, because the Ailik you had that, that it I was drinking
no,
the other day.
No, this that doesn't have this.
Okay. All right. Well,
it's a very specific smell. I don't know what to call it, but it kind of reminds me of that rye thing.
No, get it. I quite like rye whiskey, so those things fit me. But
yeah.
But it is very oaky.
Yeah.
And it's very tobacco-y on the aftertaste as well. That kind of grounded stuff. Ground, kind of earthy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But not in a nice way.
No. But thankfully, because I already tasted it, when you taste it, it's not that... It doesn't come forward that much.
No, it doesn't. So. I've already actually tasted it as well, just okay. While you were talking.
Yeah. Taste-wise, it's okay.
What I like about it is it's not a Scotch whiskey. It's not a typical sherry Scotch no. whiskey. And you are right. It I would have called this a rye if I'd tasted this blind.
Yeah.
Especially on the aftertaste.
Yeah. There's something very sour on the aftertaste.
Yeah, that's what I mean
something
about that tobacco
that
plant.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it builds slowly though, and the finish is very
finish
nice.
Is very long.
But it is a little sickly sweet. And apparently the next one we're going to have is actually billed as being sickly. The next one, neither of us has tasted the next one. So that is rather interesting, because they talk about apples and sickly sweet, which kind of doesn't mix
okay.
with me. So let's wait and see what they say. This is growing on you though, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Not at all?
No, not at all.
Okay,
nope.
This it looked like you was enjoying nope. it.
No. Nope. So it's okay. But to be honest, for the price I paid, there are a gazillion other whiskies that I would like much more.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's bad whiskey. I think it's
no, it's not
it's
bad.
Quite nice.
No, not at all. I mean, it's well made. It's just that specific taste does not
suit with you
very well with
no,
me.
No, that's okay. I get that. I mean, I think I prefer that over some Belgian whiskies I've tasted.
Yes, me too. Yeah.
So I think from in terms of that setting. Mm-hmm. So, but it was interesting. I mean, Poland
being a vodka country.
Being a vodka, but it is a spirit country. I mean, you go to any restaurant and there's 20 whiskies you can choose from.
Yeah.
You go to Belgium, you get five most of
Johnny
the time.
Walker Red, Johnny Walker
yeah, exactly.
Black. Yeah, exactly.
So we had some pretty cool episodes. I have a rather embarrassing story to tell
you. Yes,
you
have.
Well. Because a friend of ours that we both work with spends a reasonable amount of time in Warsaw. Every couple of months, he goes over there, and he identified a whiskey bar that we should go to, the Com Cocktail Bar or something.
Dom
Cocktail Bar, whiskey and Dom Cocktail Bar.
Yeah,
and it has over 2,000 whiskies.
Yes.
So that was on the list. Yeah. So Maureen travelled in differently to me, but I said, "Look, I'm leaving the apartment now. I'm gonna." Head off to this place. I had my phone with me because never been there before, and it was a couple of kilometers away or something. Started walking. Nice city, blah, 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 blah. And the phone suddenly went completely dead. All right, battery just wiped itself out. So I'm stuck there in the middle of the city. I can find my way back. That's not a problem, but I decided to head off from the vision in my mind to come and join you for a whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And failed miserably.
Yes.
I walked everywhere, couldn't find the place.
So I had whiskey without you.
You did, but yes. It was interesting because you nearly missed them all.
Yes, because this place, if you ever go to Warsaw, go to this place, Dom Whiskey. It is amazing. But if you walk in, that's actually the cocktail bar. That's not the whiskey bar. The whiskey bar is on the first floor. So I walked in, ordered a whiskey. Actually, I looked at the whiskey selection and I was like, I thought they said they had over 2,000 whiskeys. I mean, I only see maybe 100. So
where are the whiskeys? Yeah. Show me the whiskeys.
I was kind of disappointed. And then I was sitting down with a Jameson cold brew. And I actually looked up and I saw, there's another floor above this. So I actually went up the floor and there I was greeted with a few thousand whiskeys on a very, very long bar. And cool. Very helpful, nice people behind the bar. It reminded me of Barcelona and that Barcelona whiskey
the
bar.
Was it the Whiskey House? Yeah. No, was it called?
Just but the Whiskey.
Yeah, the Whiskey, yes, yeah. That's right. Yeah, no, that was amazing. And the new one is even more.
Yeah, and this is just, it's got the same bar with thousands of whiskeys, but then a really big place with nice comfy chairs, wood all over the place. It's also an Art Bag Embassy. They've got all these cupboards spread across the room with extra bottles, special bottles. And it just looks amazing. It's a very cool place.
If Brian's listening, I'm going to tell the story of Brian who went there, who recommended going in there. And he said, do you have any Art Bag? And he went, yeah. So he said, what you got? So he brought one out. Open the lock on the door, open the door, yeah. Put the bottle on the table. And he went, nope, that's fine. He said, but €65 a shot. And so Brian went, I'll give him this.
Yeah.
I mean, with Ardbeg as well, it's you can be a solid Ardbeg fan.
Yeah.
And you can still have one of their whiskies, you just don't like it. You love it or you hate it. And it can move from one version to another.
I've never come across an Ardbeg I did not like. And I've had weird Ardbegs. I've had a non-peated Ardbeg.
Yeah, but there was an Ardbeg that you will not drink.
Oh, no. Yes, you're right. There's one Ardbeg I do not like, which is the Wee Beastie, the 5-year-old Wee Beastie. Exactly, yes.
But I find that it's not... You know, if I take a Deanston's, I would never doubt that a Deanston's that I take, I'm going to enjoy, one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they take less risk. They take 3 blocks off the top because they know they don't want to risk their sales. So maybe there's something around Ardbeg that they say, you know, we
Ardbeg, you know. They go balls out.
Yeah, they do.
Every special release, they've got a flashing commercial. They've got a flashy name. They've got flashy design on the bottle. They go all out.
Yep.
And that is really cool.
I want to keep talking about whiskey. That's the thing.
Yes, that's the problem. But we shouldn't.
We'll go back onto the last session as well, your session in a minute or two. But we might, there's no promise at this point in time, but we might have one of the first bottles to taste from the new Ardeno distillery in Islay. We might. So we have to wait and see how it pans out. There's a story.
No, there's no story. We have a colleague who's going there. I gave him all the information.
I did too. Funny that, isn't it?
Yeah. But I also kind of mentioned to him that if he wants to get the money back from his whole trip, he should actually sell the bottle.
Oh, you've done it again, haven't you? You've done it again. I've told him to ignore you.
Yes.
But there's a very good chance this is going to be €300 or €400.
Yeah.
And I'm not entirely certain that as I'm buying a new house, I can't justify that kind of money.
No.
So he will have strict instructions if he does go, which is actually the place he's going, of course.
Actually, what he should do is buy a big bottle to make his expense back. But he should also buy a few taster bottles if they have any.
I don't think they'll have them. I think the way it works is you do the tasting, which is like €70.
Yeah.
And then you get an option if you do that to buy their first ever bottle.
Yeah.
And as you say, not many people will actually open it. But if I get a bottle, we're opening it. Because it is the first and newest Islay distillery.
I know, yes. So a few years ago, when the Torrabeck distillery opened up on Isle of Skye, prices went crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm only guessing that Arnejo will be,
If it was only Arno that was going, because it's actually Yoshi, but that's fine.
Okay.
So, all right. I don't think they listened to the podcast.
No, no.
So they won't ever mention it.
All right. Let me finish this whiskey.
Yeah, and let's move on. I'll let you flip over. I'll flip over the sheet. Do you want to sit down for a little while? Because I know you've been to the gym. Julie, go sit down. I've never done the podcast from this side of the room before.
Okay, let's switch things up.
Wow.
We've got two topics. We've got two whiskeys, and we're switching things up.
Wow. This is cool. No, that's not it.
What you doing?
Did you write it? Oh.
What did you do? Okay.
It was hidden because you only did a couple of lines.
Oh, okay. Yes, because this is actually something I know because I presented this last week.
This is your presentation, yes.
So I know what I want to talk about and I don't need to write everything down. So my presentation was all about smart goal setting.
So is this how you lean? Like
yes.
This? Just like
exactly,
this?
Exactly, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. It's comfy, right?
I feel younger all of a sudden. It is comfy. I like this.
Yeah, yeah. So smart goals. And smart, you probably heard this at some, I don't know, training or event, whatever, maybe in school, that you need to set smart goals. And smart means specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. So those are a number of criteria that you need to think about if you want to set up a goal that you really want to get. Like, for example, New Year's resolutions, I want to stop smoking or I want to lose weight. They're horrible goals.
Because they're not smart.
Because they're not smart. Yes, exactly. There's no time restriction. There's no end goal. There is no... it's not very specific.
I get it.
Yeah, I think the best example is I want to lose weight. I have a way how you can lose 20 kilos in about 5 minutes. It's just cut off your legs.
I didn't ask. Yeah, okay.
Yes, cut off your legs.
Only 20 kilos.
Lose at least 20 kilos in 5 minutes. So, I mean, yeah. So, it's a rubbish goal.
Got it.
So,
did you actually say that in your presentation?
Yes, I did.
And did anybody go?
No, slightly.
Slightly. They went.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yes, I get it.
That's all right.
So it needs to be more specific. So my main example that I used throughout the presentation was I want to learn Polish. Okay, cool.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a good goal. I want to learn Polish. But
smart.
Okay, it needs to, well, that's while I was going through the letters, we made it smarter. So it needs to be specific. So how do I want to do that? I want to learn Polish by studying 1 hour every day on Duolingo. That's very specific.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to do that. It needs to be measurable. So I want to do that for every day for 1 hour. So I'm measuring how I'm going to do that.
Okay.
It needs to be achievable. And that's where my problem is. I don't have time to do this 1 hour every day. So that's not an achievable goal. I might want to do this for 5 minutes a day or 20 minutes a day. That's achievable. An hour, it's not achievable. So I'll learn Polish by doing Duolingo 20 minutes a day.
How are you doing?
Oh, no. It's an example. That's what
okay.
I said.
I thought you were going to sit there and finish off.
No.
I thought there's going to be a big finish in a minute. He's going to sit there and say something in Polish.
And then it needs to be relevant. So why do I want to do this?
So you can order Polish whiskey.
So I can order a Polish whiskey. Yes, exactly. Yes. Or I could say that I want to do a presentation in Polish to expand my reach or to open up a new office in Poland or whatever.
Okay.
Make more money. And then it needs to be time bound. So I need a start date and an end date. And for this one, it would be next year collab days, Warsaw.
Nice.
So I want to learn to speak Polish by training on Duolingo 20 minutes a day for the next time until it's Club Days Warsaw 2025, because I want to make more money and I want to get into the Polish market.
Awesome. So today's Tuesday. You finished your presentation Friday. So yeah, you've done 30 minutes.
One, two, three, fuck all. Yes, that's how many. Yes.
I get it. Yes. I get it. But I like that. I like that alignment. But yeah, what's this got to do with Microsoft 365? Why did you want to actually talk about smart
fuck
goals?
Fuck all. No, exactly. No, I wanted to...
Well, it's content, isn't it? Actually, I know where you're going with this. It's content.
Yeah, exactly. And it is all about improving the way you work. And of course, in Microsoft 365, there are plenty of applications that allow you to define goals and tasks.
Yeah.
So for example, I gave some examples for me. For example, I'm keeping track of a number of goals in OneNote.
I've got a OneNote
that I copy every month over, and it's got things about my finances, my personal finances, the company's finances, trips that I want to do, places that I want to speak, listeners to the podcast, getting my MVP, getting my YouTube subscriptions, doing museums, for example, is also a metric I'm tracking. I want to do 6 museums every year.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, of course, they're not written down as SMART goals.
Okay.
Because they don't talk about relevancy and all that. But it's just what I think is important.
No, and I had a word with one or two of the team this week as well. So we sat there looking at some of the user stories, mm-hmm, you know, and there was things like, as a user, I want to improve budget management, which was, okay, it's a kind of goal. But what you need to do is you want to sit there and define what it is that you actually want to achieve with that. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
you know, as a I want to be able to prove control of my budget, or I want to be...
And why? Yes, exactly. I came across a YouTube, I don't know, a YouTube, a LinkedIn post. I don't know, it was an advert. It was made as an advert or not. I think it was just a post from some kind of salesperson saying, we do business processes and 3 reasons why you should do it, because we make it easy and we make it fun and we make it complete. Okay, but what do you do?
Yeah, yeah.
It was so random, so vague, not relevant, open, so vague. Like, Bill, book a demo with us. But I don't know what you're doing.
So just to get into, to make sure this is about what we do on this podcast,
yes.
Obviously goals are
bitch
across
and wine, you
all...
Mean. Oh, yes, sorry, yes.
No, I do my own, apparently, according to the feedback.
right.
But, of course, we use goals in all kinds of different applications.
Exactly, yes. So I'm keeping them in OneNote for me because that's just easy. I copy it every month into a new month. That's easy. Now, of course, we also did a session together a few months ago all about goals, about FIFA goals. Goals, of course, lets you set some objectives, like I want to reach this because of that. And then it makes it very smart by adding a number of key results there, like this by this end date, this should be the specific result. So it's very measurable, it's very specific, it's achievable, it's relevant because it links to your objective, and it is time bound. So goals lets you do that. I mean, Planner also kind of lets you do that. Planner lets you add an end date, for example, lets you break it up into subtasks. So there are a number of things that you can do there as well. And of course, To Do, your personal task app, is pretty good. It's not really meant for tracking goals.
Which one's this?
To Do.
Okay, yeah.
And then in the end, I also talked about Loop. Because
yes, you were shouting about that last week.
I think Loop is everywhere these days.
It is.
And I have to say, the people or the team behind Loop have been making this very, very, very cool. Because now if I create a Loop task list, I can have it show up as a planner. So I can work in planner, I can work in Loop. But there's also a way to create rules for a Loop task list so that it actually creates a Power Automate workflow behind the scenes where you can just do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's very, very, very cool.
I like it because what you actually did with this session was you kind of defined how to do a proper goal or how to do a proper task or how to make sure that when you look at that task, you know exactly what you need to do, when you need to do it by, and what it will achieve, et cetera, et cetera. And then you looked at all the tools you could use with them.
Yeah.
Neat presentation.
But I also kind of failed on my presentation.
Did you?
Because I shouted to everyone that I would have three half-naked guys in my presentation. And a few people were very annoyed that it was the top half that was naked. There was one person that said it also had to be inclusive, so that it also had to include a half-naked lady.
So you failed to include a half-naked
lady. Yes, and there was one guy that was actually not half-naked. It was like only 30% naked or something. So.
God, man, that wasn't very smart, that goal.
Yeah, no. I had to.
But you needed to do that to demonstrate a dumb goal.
Maybe. Yeah. It was all about my goal settings, about how I want to look and whatever. It's about my Instagram being full of half-naked men instead of whatever.
The inclusivity would have been interesting.
Yeah.
This is what I want to be.
No, exactly. So that was what I said as well. Like, this is... The idea is that these muscular guys is how I want to be this summer. And if I would show a lady, that's not how I want to look. Even if it was
it
a muscular
lady. It might be what I want
lady.
To look at. But.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what somebody said as well. Like, it's an aspiration.
No, cool.
Yeah, so.
No, it was good.
Yeah.
So it was good. Well, the session, and how many people did you have in the session?
I have no idea, but I think 30 or 40, something like that. I had a big auditorium.
Yeah, I love presenting in there. It's
and
very,
yeah,
very cool.
It's lots of fun, but it's also a big auditorium. So even if you have 40 people, it kind of
looks
like it's not a lot of people there. But I had a lot of fun. I had really good comments, really good grades for that as well.
Nice.
So I'm a happy camper.
Good. So I've heard. Yep. But that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
It was a great weekend. I mean, it shouldn't knock it, guys. If you want to go to one of the Colab Day stuff before the summer, make a note, because next year it is well worth doing.
Yeah.
The people are just amazing. Polish people generally are just amazing. Every bar was
super
friendly.
Absolutely. Yep.
It was pretty cool. We had the food is pretty amazing on where you go most of the time. Saturday night I went to a classical concert, which was just truly amazing. It was interesting, all the people sort of so-called dressed up. But they also had a spirit bar. So you could have, no word of a lie, halfway through, one has doing tea, coffee, and cakes, and in the other corner it was a full-blown spirit bar with whiskey from just
everything.
About everywhere.
Nice.
So that was another Polish whiskey that I tasted, Blaweneski.
Okay.
Which was rather nice, actually. That really was quite nice.
Yeah.
So it was good. So yes, we go to Poland to work and to teach people as part of our community work? Yes. Did we go to Poland to drink some amazing whiskey? Yes. So it was a win-win.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It was a win-win.
Yeah.
So let's move on to my whiskey. So we're going to drink a whiskey Paproki, which has got an amazing name.
Yeah.
I'll let you do that again.
Paproki.
Paproki, which is based upon where the distillery is, which is in Paprok in Poland.
Okay. And it won some awards.
It did, yeah. Yeah, that's nice. I said that. Do you never listen to me?
That's what Anouk said as well after her session while I was asking all kinds of questions. I just said that.
Yep. So, yes, it has won some silver awards at the London Whiskey Festival. It's a single barrel. So it's but apparently it's quite sweetish, and they describe the flavour. I'm just going to pull the laptop up. I know Maureen and I have swapped places. But the cotton candy sweet.
Nice.
All right, but if you stick your nose on this glass, you'll understand exactly what they mean.
Oh, wow.
It's barley, 100% barley. Yes. So it's not rye.
Yes. It is a very pleasant, like I'm reading the notes and it says it's very pleasant and delicate flavor profile. I would not call this delicate,
it's
but it is
bubblegum sweet, isn't
it? It is very pleasant. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like a liquid dessert. Yes.
So they've made this whiskey and they put it in a single American oak cask.
Okay.
And that's all that's happened to it. And nice. Then a number of years later, but I don't know
it's
how
very
many years.
Lazy.
They've just they've just threw it in a bottle.
Awesome. Sometimes
this is what you get.
You don't need to do much more than that.
No, I mean my barrel, which is now back on the cards again, because my guy left that was arranging my bottling. So I got an email the other day and said, "I'm sorry, he's left, and we don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your cask." But it's still one cask, and it will all come out of one cask and one bottle.
Okay.
So I will pick that up again and move that forward.
Okay.
But yeah, I like this. I think it's got a very bright, fresh color about it.
Yeah.
I think hopefully in a few minutes you will agree with me that you chose the wrong whiskey at the airport.
Only by smelling it.
Yeah.
I'm already very intrigued. Yeah. Yes.
You get your nose really inside it and tip it down. You've got that real after smell of the oakiness on top of that sweetness. It really does work very well.
I get some raisins there as well.
Dried fruits.
Some vanilla, like proper vanilla sweet pudding. Yes.
All right.
You know what that reminds me of? This reminds me of, you know, this time when I was stopping to smoke cigarettes and I went into vaping.
Yes.
There was this really particular dessert vanilla tart vape that was so thick that I could even like almost chew the smoke in my mouth. And this just smells exactly the
same.
Well,
I'm about to taste it. So right. And you're doing the same. I hope it doesn't actually disappoint.
So you do that and then I will talk about the amazing bottle. They did a really nice job on the bottle. It looks amazing. You got the box set with the glasses. You have a very puzzled look on your face.
It's bloody awesome. But it goes from that cotton candy to pepper. Honestly, you wait. The finish goes from cotton candy to pepper.
It's bubble gum.
Yep. Bubble gum, you're probably right. But all of a sudden you start to, it's almost as if you can chew the chunks of pepper. It's amazing.
I don't get that peppery.
Oh, you don't?
Maybe in
a little while. I do on the sides. But that's all right. We know it's different. One of the best things about this bottle is they built an air bubble into the bottom of the bottle.
Yes.
And it just looks amazing.
This bottle is
not going to ever leave my bar, my new bar.
Yeah.
I think I might even try and put a light in there.
This is pure bubble gum. I love this.
But we should point out, it is a whiskey, guys. This is not like a liqueur or anything. It's not. I know we're talking about it sweet. It's sweet in whiskey terms.
This is almost a liqueur.
You think?
Absolutely. It is that sweet. Absolutely. Oh, this is something I could drink every day. This is amazing.
It is amazing.
Yes.
Well, you had the choice.
I had the choice of a few whiskeys, and I chose the wrong one. That's fine.
It was
quite this my what's it called again? Westfield, Littlefield, Wildfield, is nice on its own, but this is amazing.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I think so too. I mean, I don't get the box to put all my pencils and crayons in when I finish the whiskey.
No, it's true.
That box is pretty cool.
But you've got glasses.
I got glasses.
You've got Paprocky glasses.
Listen, it's very rare to go through an airport and actually have lots of local whiskies
available. I know.
It is right. And there was a lot of them. There was at least 8 or 9.
There was a lot of local whiskey. And the problem is you can't taste it there.
No.
So I hate buying whiskey blind.
On a risk. Yeah, I don't like it either. But this was cheap.
I know.
We're talking €50 a bottle or something.
Yeah, I know. But it also won some prizes. We said that already. But I think what they should do is make a cask strength version of this. Because I feel that this is a little too watery. I'm missing that oily mouthfeel. If this would have that oily mouthfeel, this would be perhaps my number one whiskey.
Is it 40%? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm missing that oiliness.
Well, they're in the EU, so they can ship a bottle out. I don't know what else they've got at...
I can probably get one from my favorite online whiskey retailer.
Yeah, there is. I've done a good job selling them off. Mm-hmm. There you go. Paprocki and Wild Fields.
Yeah.
Polish whiskies tasted here on M365 Distilled and talked about a number of things. Smart goals. I think this is dead key. And I think you're going to get a lot of chances to speak about that.
I hope so.
Because I think it's about content. It's about not documents and not lists. It's about all those other kinds of things where you need to kind of manage sensible, deliverable things.
Yeah.
I hope we're going to get to do our workshop in a few places. I know we've had some expressions of interest. But from a governance perspective, you know, going through the things that you need to do around the governance space. And we're going to try and get some specific kinds of governance examples in, like, you know, a little more practical things, if we can fit them in somehow. It was an amazing collab days.
Yes.
We feel so good about it, we wanted to talk about it. We normally don't talk about our sort of events that we go to.
Well, actually,
like this.
That guy that called you and that you needed to pipe down a little bit, he actually also did another comment on the episode before that, and he said it was two guys just talking and talking and talking, and it was not going anywhere, so I turned it off.
But he tried again.
He tried again, so thank you, dear mystery listener.
Literalist.
and I hope this one...
bores you just as much.
No, that this one was one that you really liked.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll see. We're definitely open for comments. So.
Absolutely. And also, I publish all the comments. So even if you didn't like it and you leave me a bad review, I will still publish it.
Okay, and that comment is on Spotify.
That comment is on Spotify.
So the only question that I need to ask you now, Moraine, as we close off here, is what are you going to put into ChatGPT to create the image for the podcast?
That's a good question, because the last podcast about the internet,
You already had it in your head.
I had a really good idea of where I wanted to go with the image art. And we stepped away from our default image art. And I think we need to do that again here. And we'll see. Yes.
So take a look at your phone, guys. Whatever you see in your phone, that's what Moraine decided upon. Because I cheat. I just use the same image and change the title. He is now going to create the image from now onwards. And, of course, we are using AI to do it just for fun.
Yes.
We've enjoyed this. It has been a difference. We literally today we didn't know what we wanted to talk about. And then we came across a number of things and decided that we'd had such a good weekend. And the Collab Days stuff is superb. We highly recommend it, by the way. You know, the whole tech community is live and active. There are a whole number of opportunities in September and October for you to speak, to share your experience with other people. And you should take it, because the community is superb. We had a great night at the SharePint event on Friday.
Yeah.
We were all in sort of this huge food factory place. And the sponsors kindly usually provide a drink or two or three or four or five. Yeah. And we had a whole great fun time. So it's both work and it's social. And you expand your network and you learn so much from all the other speakers and the audience about what you can do. So we highly recommend that.
Absolutely.
So anyway, I'm just going to say goodbye and then hand over to Moraine. So Sy Steve, you can find me on Google and Twitter and everything else. And I'm happy to be told that I need to calm down. I think sometimes you need to do it to get the best out of people. But the man loves me still, I promise. We've been doing this too long to worry about a few comments and things. So
absolutely.
Steve Dolby is saying bye and thank you for listening. And I'm going to hand over to Moraine.
Bye-bye.
Man, you blow me away. You really do.